Hey, growers from around the world, thank you for tuning into GrowCast today. Quick reminder, mygrowpass.com new member registration ends tomorrow. We are no longer accepting new members starting tomorrow. Get in before we close our doors. Every time we close our doors, some sad sack is left out. Don't be that person, please. Mygrowpass.com for all the giveaways, the new member giveaways, the discounts, the podcasts, ad-free, live streams, everything. Mygrowpass.com, people, closes tomorrow. Today, though, we have Humboldt Seed Co. on the line. Nat from Humboldt Seed Co. is here to drop some science. I really like this guy. It was a great interview. I know you're going to love it. Brings me back to my California roots. Before we get started, though, shout out to Green Goddess Supply. Green Goddess Supply is a great place where you can get all sorts of smoking products, and you can get the armoire. That's right, the grow chamber armoire. GreenGoddessSupply.com. GrowCast is the promo code you can use for 10% off any accessories, and members of mygrowpass.com get 25% off site-wide and $100 off the armoire. Check out greengoddessupply.com, folks. They've got smoking utensils, they've got dab tools, they've got pipes, grinders, stash boxes, amazing accessories for the consumers such as us. And then they've also got the armoire, which is a very, very aesthetically pleasing grow chamber. It's a really great option for small-time home growers who just want it to look nice and be easy. If anyone can water a houseplant once a day, then you can grow top-shelf bud with that armoire. It's a really interesting option, and it's a perfect option for a lot of people. GreenGoddessSupply.com for all your smoking accessories, for the armoire, GrowCast for 10% off, and MyGrowPass.com members getting 25% off plus 100 off the armoire. Green Goddess Supply, everybody. Let's get into the show with Nat from Humboldt Seed Co. Enjoy the program. Thanks for listening. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, please share GrowCast with a friend. Spread the show. It's how we grow. Make sure you tune into The Homegrown Helpers by Rob Smith for more growing talk, and my other show, The Coffee, Health, and Science Podcast. Very fun. Today, we have a bit of a breeder feature. I mean, it's a big breeder feature. On the line with us, we have Nat from Humboldt Seed Company. How's it going, my friend?
Very good. Very good. How about you?
I'm doing excellent. How is life out there in Humboldt? How is the seed game doing in the great, really the epicenter of the world, the Emerald Triangle, smack dab right there in Northern California?
Yeah, it's a beautiful day in the Emerald Triangle here. And, obviously we're kind of getting into summer, so nice. Things are happening. We have pollen flying at the farm right now, and and still feels like it's seed distribution time in Humboldt County. We still have farmers coming into our distribution offices here in Eureka. So yeah.
Nice. That's my old stomping grounds. I want to talk about all of that and more. Let's start at the beginning, though. This is a breeder feature. We have a bit of a formula. So I'd like to ask you, how Humboldt Seed Company kind of came to be and what your core mission is.
Yeah. So, I don't think that we ever decided, we needed to be a seed company. We decided that we needed to have genetics so that we could continue growing cannabis. I mean, we started growing in Humboldt County in the mid-90s, and with the passage of Proposition 215, which was, of course, like the first medical cannabis laws. And so seeing a need for, our own purposes to keep our genetics alive, and we started breeding. And that was, in a lot of ways, it was like just as we were starting to grow. And it quickly, became evident that there was, just amongst the neighborhood of like Eastern Humboldt, the mountainous regions of Humboldt County, that there was this need.
This huge demand. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I say this a lot on interviews, but it was my girlfriend at the time who made me turn it into a business, because she was just tired of me, trading, telling my friends, come on over, we'll get you some seeds, bring a sixer or something like that. And she said, man, you're having somebody's coming over every goddamn night of the week, and you're just, having beer after beer. So why don't you just do something with this?
Isn't it always behind every great man, there's a powerful woman. And that's interesting because it's the same thing. It's like, you could be writing off this. You could be writing off that. That's hilarious, man. But I like that it was born out of preservation. Yes. I really like that. Having spent 5 years out there in Humboldt, I love the culture that you guys have there. Like, I'm genuinely in love with it. So it's cool to hear someone that like started right there in the mid 90s when the bills passed. And then from the preservation side, I get the story a ton on these breeder features is usually when you're dealing with special genetics and talented breeders, the demand just swells. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been ridiculous. And just especially the last, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, it's been really kind of hard to, you know, it's been tough
keeping
scaling
up.
And also yeah. dealing with like regulation. So I don't think it would have been quite as much of a problem if we just had to scale, but dealing with all the changing, you know, kind of the moving goalposts with regulation and,
oh, Jesus.
And that aspect is, but, you know, we're doing it and it's been a heck of a journey and a heck of a ride. And you know, I'm grateful to have been kind of in the right place at the right time.
Right.
And with, you know, this whole evolving thing. I mean, you know, you asked about how we got our beginning and we didn't jump right into like, oh, this is a seed company business. Although, I mean, we did sort of establish, we went down to the courthouse and got a business license and all those kinds of things. But you didn't want to be so out in the open about, you know, the cannabis. And so it's a seed company. And, you know, we have, a lot of us have a science background and we did, I was a fisheries biologist for 10 years.
Nice.
Working for local, working for several different groups, but working closely with the environmental groups and tribes and things like that. And, working on salmon biology and genomics. So
whoa, that's super interesting.
When it comes to preservation, that's something that we're, you know, is kind of at our core.
That bleeds into several of your passions, it sounds like. And that's part of the culture up there too. I came from a very wasteful part of the world when I was growing up, and living in Northern California actually changed me in a lot of ways, man, to be honest.
Yep.
But before I dive into the wide variety of seeds that you have available. HumboldtSeedCompany.com is where you can check out a lot of this stuff. But also you've got kind of local branches out in a bunch of different states, right? Can you talk about that for a second before I talk to you about your strains?
Yeah. So, you know, we realized that, I mean, our mission, you asked about that. And really when it comes down to it, it's just that we want to see people get to grow cannabis and be able to grow good, clean cannabis. And mm-hmm. seeds kind of offer a sort of unique capacity to be able to make cannabis that's clean, because, you know, it's nice to not start with any little spider mites or any, you know, creepy crawlies that tend to sometimes come along with clones. And we have nothing against clones. We use clones in our breeding all the time. And, you know, we work really closely with most of California's large clone nurseries as well. But, you know, we kind of think at the end of the day, you know, you put a seed in a pot in your backyard,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether you're young or old or
100%. It's something about the accessibility. It's something about the stabilization of the seed, the ability to withstand storage. There's something there. I guess the word accessibility is the best I can come up with.
You really nailed it there. I appreciate that you understood that. That's I think you might have just added to our mission statement. We want to redo our mission statement, and I think improving the accessibility of
that's
cannabis.
Huge, that's a noble mission.
Yeah, and so that's what it's all about for us. When we saw how it was shaken out with, you know, state by state boundaries and evolving to be, you know, where you have these legal but segregated kind of markets where you can't have, you know, interstate commerce is kind of the no-no that's still there. But we just decided, look, we can do breeding in these states and we can have a presence and help cannabis be more accessible for, you know, the everyday people.
Yeah, as the states come online, right? Because they're popping up like that. So for you to get in there early with some reputable genetics is huge, because genetics is a big question mark for a lot of new growers, especially. And interestingly enough, I'm new to seeds, literally the run that I'm doing right now. I grew professionally for Hummingbird Healing Center between 2010 and 2015. And before they got shut down, unfortunately. My stoned brain was trying to get to is that it was always clones. You said there's such a strong clone presence in Humboldt. All my friends had clones. I never popped a seed. Now that I've done it, man, there's something super special about seeds. Aside from the accessibility, it is watching that sprout, that seedling. That early seedling stage is so fun, too. You're really missing something if you've only grown from clones. And I'm saying that as someone who did that for years and years.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think so. Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's like, you know, positives and pros and cons of all the different methodology. But
exactly.
I think that as we really, you know, and I say this time and time again, but it's kind of like tomatoes. When we first started working with tomatoes and breeding tomatoes, when they were, you know, discovered in the Andes, or I'm not even sure if that's true, but I think so. And so when we started doing that, you know, you certainly couldn't get a pack of tomato seeds and know that, you know, if you wanted to grow cherry tomatoes, that you were going to end up with cherry tomatoes.
Interesting. You
know, slicers and all those things.
Yeah, beef steak or aroma, yeah, you know?
Exactly. That took many, many years of really concerted effort in breeding to, you know, stabilize and create homozygous or uniform seed varieties.
I hate cherry tomatoes. I don't want that shit.
Yeah, you want to use slicer, you know, you're trying to have a BLT or whatever
it is.
That's
what I'm saying.
And so, you know, that's the, you know, the luxury of breeding that you've essentially is happening right now in cannabis. And I know, you know, we're not the only company that's doing that. There's a bunch of groups out there, because that's what the cannabis community, whether it's a backyard grower or an industrial farm operation, they're all screaming, you know, I just would love to be able to go out and plant seeds just like, you know, humans have been doing with ag for, you know, time immemorial.
Right.
And have them come out and be uniform so that I can go to market with this, you know, big bushel of buds.
That's true. Yes. You're right. I definitely agree with that. And we could go so many directions. I really want to stay on track, but I was going to ask you, I mean, maybe autoflowers. When you talk about that traditional ag situation, maybe autoflowers are better suited for that, like way down the road. I'm talking years, maybe decades down the road. But I don't even know if I want to go there, man. Why don't we stay on track? If you don't mind, unless you want to finish your thought there, let's move into your incredible strains, man. I'm seeing some that I want to talk about.
Sure.
Well, listen, there you have so many selections. Usually when I talk to a breeder, it's like, you know, you've been established for 19 years. You've got regular seeds, feminized seeds, autoflower seeds. I'm interested in your hemp CBD. So instead of like dialing in on my choices, I guess I'm going to ask you questions.
Sure.
What are your hottest seeds as far as the reviews you get or maybe the biggest sellers? Mm-hmm. My audience is, you know, thousands of growers who are always looking to try something new. Maybe they're sick of the seeds that they've been buying and they're considering switching to yours. Here's another way to put it. What best represents what you're trying to do out of your catalog? I know it's a loaded question, but give me your best answer.
Yeah, I got you. Well, I think, you know, one thing that we really focus on is terpenes. And
oh yeah,
we sort of just kind of followed our noses down different pathways in cannabis. And we like to have, you know, this sort of diverse lineup that represents different, you know, I would say maybe genres of cannabis and the terpenes that it produces. And so that's why you see such a sort of a vast list of it. And also, you know, our entire farm is dedicated to breeding. I mean, we do grow flower, but we never think of it as the product.
Right.
It's always seeds are number one, or you know, phenotypes and clone form, clone genetics, because mm-hmm. we do like licensing to clone nurseries. But at the end of the day, you know, I think got to go back to some of like, you know, the creations that have been around and made it around the world, like our blueberry muffin. And then as far as, you know, new stuff that we've got, you mentioned the autoflowers. We've got the magic melon autoflower that is, you know, grows to, you know, 5 or even we've been seeing people post pictures of 6-foot magic melon autos that are just now finishing up here in Humboldt County. And we're
sick.
I mean, we've got a couple 5-footers at our farm, like in our little R&D area, but some people are just crushing it with those. And gosh, we had a farmer come in today that was just gushing about it. And so that is like, it's a really new and unique angle to growing cannabis. Cause
fuck yeah.
You know, that. I'm sure you remember being in Humboldt, autoflower was almost like a bad word 3, 4, 5 years ago. It was just like the genetics weren't there, but now we've realized
that shit's changing.
Yeah. Well, what we realize as a company is that cannabis is super malleable. The genetic is malleable. It wants to grow and it wants to get evolve. Enjoyed by people. And yes. So
what an empowering belief. I'm sorry to cut you off, but that's really significant what you just said there, man. And that kind of reinforces a belief and I've had in my head. So to hear you say that, that's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, the botany of desire sort of concept, but it's a little metaphysical, but I do believe that there's something to it.
Whoa.
And it's a special, you know, special plant. And so, you know, if you want to essentially just copy and paste that autoflower trait into, you know, the greatest strain you've ever seen and smoked, that is completely and totally doable. It just takes, you know, that concerted effort and time. And it's amazing what you can do if you really set your mind to it. And I think the thing that's great, like there's a lot of cons of the regulatory framework that we find ourselves in now in Humboldt and in Cali. But some of the pros are that you can kind of have a continuity and not have to worry about, you know, oh, I heard that they're going to fly their helicopter. Let's, you know, move the operation or whatever. All that bullshit that used to come along with, you know, back in the day.
Yeah, for those listening, they used to get up on the local radio station, KMUD, and they used to, like, remember? They would, like, drop references, like, oh, a couple of helicopters, like, headed south.
And they still do that to this day. If folks tune in on any given morning in, like, midsummer, you know, fall to kmud.com, and you will literally hear the convoy report for the morning. And
that's so badass. Like, I fucking love Rumble.
Call in. They're like, we just saw 12 sheriffs heading up, you know, Salmon Creek. Everybody, you know, batting down the hatches, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and they all, like, drive their totally cars, like, under tents so that they can't swoop and see their license plates. And, like, Humboldt is, like, the Wild West. That's fucking awesome that the radio station still does that. I guess they're not technically breaking any laws. The FCC doesn't say you can't broadcast things you see or take calls from drivers on the road. So that's really fucking cool, man. I brought that up, I think, a long time ago on the podcast. But for maybe new listeners, I fucking love Humboldt, man. So cool.
I mean, even us licensed farms that are totally by the books and are really kind of playing in the lines or whatever, we still have an affinity to that culture.
You were born out of that.
Because, yeah, we were. And, you know, a lot of people, I think, have in their mind, like, you know, all these, you know, people running around the hills with, you know, burying cash and this. But really what it was, in actuality, it was like the local fire and rescue volunteer fire and rescue chief is out there trying to get his family by and at the same time, like,
right,
an ambulance driver, an EMT, a school teacher, you know, someone who's involved with a nonprofit environmental group,
totally
trying to, you know, save old growth redwoods. And, you know, so that was humble. It still is a little bit, but, you know, now our taxes kind of some a little bit more just go into California's deep coffer pockets. Or
brutal,
but,
dude.
You know,
no, that is exactly paying. Right. Well, man, we appreciate what you're doing, and we hope you hang in there. And you know what? If they keep shooting themselves in the foot, they might realize the error of their ways eventually.
Yeah.
Pulling it back around, though, you mentioned blueberry muffin. I pulled it up. This is a beautiful-looking plant. I love the kind of spiky purple bud structure. It's a very aesthetically pleasing plant. I have to say, I like your website, how it breaks down. This is more impressive than most websites I've seen. It looks like you have a terpene breakdown for almost every one of your strains.
Yep.
You've got a nice little visual infographic for the genetics instead of, you know, just plain text. I like what you're doing here, man.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah. And a lot of that little visual graphic, sometimes it doesn't capture one of our, I think one of the things we're really well known for is we select a phenotype. We've done these massive phenotype hunts, like unprecedented 10,000 plant phenotype hunts. And there's some videos on the website about, you can watch like full, almost like full movies about our pheno hunting, but we'll find something that is just amazing. We call it a unicorn, and we capture that in clone form. And then to really make the seeds, we're not just like, oh, we'll take that and cross it with Girl Scout cookie. We take that and we form it into a seed line that is at least, you know, representative of that strain, you know, representative of what we say. So the blueberry muffins are always going to smell like blueberry muffins.
Jeez.
The all gas OG smells like OG, you know, and so on and so forth. So that's like really our calling is to, and I'm sure as you can imagine, being a seed company in Humble, we don't have the most forgiving clientele. You know, people will come in and say, dude, you know, It didn't smell as much like blueberry muffin as I had hoped. And they're not, you know, shy. And we know, gosh, just about everybody here. So, we end up, you know, hearing it. And that's been good. I think that's kind of held us to, you know, to our work. And
yeah, totally. Yeah.
Trying to improve.
You're right, though. Humble growers will let you know what's up. They're not going to... They're not going to beat around the bush, man. So,
well, this ain't the first weed plant they ever saw. So it better be a good one or at least half decent.
Exactly. Maybe in the Midwest, you get the people who will be, hey, I think maybe there was a mistake if you don't mind. And we're a little more, we'll pussyfoot around a little bit more. But so yeah, the blueberry muffin definitely standing out. Jeez, oh man, your list is insane. I liked that you had an amethyst strain.
Yeah,
bred in there. That's the strain that I saw in Humboldt, you know, like kind of, I don't want to say an old school strain because, you know, it's definitely not old school, but it was present. I saw in Humboldt. So to see that there is pretty cool.
Well, that's all right, man. You can say old school because the reality is why we have so many strains is because every time we try to discontinue things off the catalog, we get, it's like this outcry, and it may take a month or two for people to realize, but they're like, what happened to blah, blah, blah strain? And we're like, well, you know, it wasn't the direction we want to go. And it was old school. And they're like, what the fuck? We loved it. And, you know, so that we have to deal with that. And sometimes we figure, you know, maybe it's just easier to have a giant catalog because we can manage it. You know, we've got a huge, you know, we have the bandwidth, I guess, you know.
Sure,
mostly.
Dude. It looks like you've got your, I mean, we were talking just before this, you got your whole office going, like you guys are doing it right, man. And I see some other breeders who do these limited editions. And I got to tell you, man, it kind of makes me a little bit, it gets me a little bit miffed too when those strains are gone. But I see what they're doing and I like what they're doing. So you can't be too mad, but I man, there's room for everybody. I love the huge catalog. I just got to say it. I totally, totally love the huge catalog. Before we return to Nat from Humboldt Seed Co., shout out to Canna Planners, the perfect company for building your cannabis business website. They just redid growcastpodcast.com. You guys got to check out our new website. It's shiny. We're going to be updating it. It's fun to explore, and Canna Planners put it together. So many people ask us where they can get a website for their cannabis business, where they can get help with SEO. That's so challenging in the cannabis space. Well, from startup to Fortune 420, CannaPlanners is the perfect solution. CannaPlanners.com, get your website. They have a free web demo. Make sure you tell them that you heard about CannaPlanners here at GrowCast. Definitely tell them that you heard on GrowCast. CannaPlanners is where it's at. It's challenging to get a website and SEO correct in the cannabis space. CannaPlanners specializes affordable, beautiful websites like ours at growcastpodcast.com. Find it at cannaplanners.com. Tell them GrowCast sent you. Let's get back to Nat, everybody. What's your favorite terpene, if I may ask a completely different question?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I don't know. I've always been a fan of terpenylene, but I kind of think that it's not as much that I like to smoke. I do like to smoke terpenylene strains, but I love that smell, and I could almost just, you know, make a
cologne out of it.
Little dream pillows, you know, those like lavender pillows.
Yes, I could the infused eye masks.
Yes, exactly. Can you just imagine big old mead?
You probably could do that, actually. Get that pulled off. Now, I'm not experienced enough to identify all, you know, obviously, you know, many terpenes just by taste. What flavor does the terpenylene carry?
You know, it's kind of the genre of Jack Herer and Trainwreck. So it's sort of that pine. I often liken it to dill pickle for some reason, but
sure.
It's a mixture of like pine and sweet
woodsy
dill pickle, but
floral.
Yeah. And it's an unusual smell. It's something that I don't, I mean, it also is a reference to turpentine. So apparently it's in turpentine as well.
I was going to say almost like a cleaner, like a cleaning product smell. I was just going to say that.
Yeah. And you know, like you brought up terpenes. We sent just the pure extracted terpenes that don't have any cannabinoids in them to a French perfume laboratory. And they found over 200, I think it was like 212 different terpenes in our cannabis that, you know, we're looking at the most 36 when you get a laboratory test done. And so there's so much more to be explored, and it's just, I know it's cliche because everybody says that THC is not, you know, the driver of an experience with cannabis, and that we shouldn't be giving it so much weight.
It's kind of,
and that carries right through over to terpenes too. I mean,
big time.
That's why we feel so strongly that, you know, just get out there and try a lot of different kinds of cannabis until you land on different strains that you know, you know.
I mean, you got to include the indica and sativa so people see something they recognize, but that's the one that I feel is getting the most pushback here in 2020.
Yeah, yeah, and it's such a hard plant to classify because the breeding is moving so quickly that, you know, I mean, it's ridiculous. Like,
and the cultivation styles are affecting the expressions.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's
indoor, you know, whether you're growing with
living soil
or organically or, you know, all of that. And
weird, man. Aquaponic, all that stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, a genetic kind of is the sort of most stable thing because you could grow with the same clone and, you know, you're likely to have. So we feel honored to sort of have that control over things of being able to, you know, kind of dictate how the genetic, you know, goes.
And the way the lineage, the path that the direction it moves in. But you know, it's interesting what you were saying about it is a cliche that terpenes are kind of being recognized as the driver, but it's a really important one, man. And the fact that there's so much that we don't know, I also work in coffee and it's the same exact thing. Terpenes are an alcohol, so it's like these terpene alcohols have all these different medical effects and psychoactive effects. In coffee, there's a lot of medical effects from the acids and the alcohols as well. So it's like there are compounds in plants that when synergized, only when synergized, you can't drink Red Bull and get the health effects from the caffeine. You need all the other shit in the coffee cherry, the countless compounds, some that we don't even know. You know what I'm saying? So really it's more about, like you said, empirically, like personally testing, figuring out for yourself what works is, and that's not what people want to hear, but that's kind of the best option in my opinion.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I think that some of these new, like the, you know, the flights that you get when you go beer tasting, that's coming. And there's a few brands out in Cali that are already doing that, where they're just, you know, literally, and it makes, it's hell on Metric or like our track and trace system that, you know, kind of wants to sort of compartmentalize everything, you know, into like, it really does that. But
that's a good point though. Like maybe little mini joints and there's four in a row and it's like 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yep. That's exactly what groups are doing right now.
Love it.
We just love it. Cause it's, that's what it's always been for us. I mean, that's why we got into breeding and it became such a thing because it was so interesting how many expressions this plant can, you know, put out. It's unreal. Totally. I mean, like our Freak Show strain, I don't know if you noticed that one.
Oh yeah, for sure. No, that's actually one that I've seen. That's one of your more popular strains, is it not?
Well, it's definitely our, probably I venture to say that maybe the most unique cannabis in the world, because it's just like the leaves are, look nothing like a cannabis leaf and it still produces.
Oh, that's where I saw it. I was confusing it. You know what? I was Googling stealth strains, visually stealth strains, and it came up on a list. That's where I saw it. I was confusing it with something else. Yeah. Now that I've pulled it up, that's right. Yeah. The leaves, they look like rosemary leaves
or ferns and
yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't look anything like cannabis, but it still produces really good bud.
Holy shit, that's awesome.
20%, up to 20% we've seen. I'm sure we're going to be finding even more higher THC. People always ask about THC, but the terpenes on the Freak Show strain are just off the charts. I mean,
myrcene, you know, pinene, caryophyllene. Sounds like it would be good for pain.
It's really good. It's a very unique, I mean, and it's funny because we get a lot of flack, honestly, on social media, things like that. Our Instagram is the Humboldt Seed Company, at the Humboldt Seed. And if you look at some of the chats when we post Freak Show, people are almost offended by the look of it.
Nah, fuck that.
So
I push
different.
Back on that.
I know. Well, what I, and I don't want to start controversies, but what I've found is that people that are new to cannabis growing are kind of like, dude, I just want to grow plain cannabis, and we're like, well, we've got that like in spades.
Oh, okay, that's a pretty compassionate view. They're not just being assholes. They're looking for something different because they just got started. Where my head's in a different space, where I've had plenty of five-fingered leaves. I want something unique. That's what gets me off.
Exactly, and that's, you know, the actual creator of the Freak Show strain. This guy, he goes by the Shapeshifter is his breeder name. And he'd probably love to get on your podcast too.
Well, please, that'll be great.
Yeah. And I thought it was really good the way that he coined it, because he's been working with cannabis for so many years. I mean, he's, you know, got a few years on me. That's for darn sure. And, you know, he just kind of said that when you've grown and bred all the different kinds of cannabis, it can get a little monotonous. So you find this new thing and he, you know, captured it. He didn't throw it away, which is what,
that's cool, dude.
I probably would have done when I was first starting out, is said like, ooh, yes. Oh, this is funny. You know, my genetics have gone astray and I got to get rid of this. But he was, you know, had been around and seen things long enough to be like, wow, this is actually cool and different. And, you know, then made it into a strain, which we just simply essentially mass produced and have kind of an agreement with him to distribute.
Right.
So
that's super cool,
but,
man.
You know, we did it all legitimately and it's different. And so of course there's people that are having, you know, some learning while they're getting into growing it. It's not so simple, but you know, so maybe it's not a beginner strain. We kind of sort
of, man, you need,
phrase it as
you need variety,
intermediate advanced grower kind of thing. And
right.
And so for those people like you that have had, you know, lots of different five-fingered leaves under their belt, here comes the freak show. Get into something that's incredibly unique and interesting.
Well, I'm so stoked to be back into the game. I was like denying how much I missed it. My time in Humboldt was so special, man, because first of all, I was growing full time and it was like everything was legit and the food out there. Oh my God, going down to Oberon Grill and Ramon's Bakery. Ramon's Bakery. Oh my God.
That's where we probably where we get lunch most often.
They put stuff on the menu. And then you know what? They rip it away from you. They have the seasonal menu. They have the meatloaf sandwich. They had a Dungeness crab lemon panini. And I was hooked on it. I'm sorry to be crass, but it was like a crack addiction. I would think about it as I was consuming it, how I was going to get the next one. And they ripped it away from me, Nat. It was not fair. No, Ramon's is one of the best experiences I've had as far as the culinary world on the West Coast.
I got my my daughter lives right down the road from Ramon's, and this is, you know, we're a family company as well, and we've got, you know, a couple different families that are in it, but my daughter's been pheno hunting and working on the seeds. So Hallie, say hi.
How's it going?
Oh my God, that's great. I love that you have your whole little team there, and you got the multi-generation. I love that, man. That's really special. And I thank you for sharing that with me, by the way, before we got started.
Well, she's, you know,
keep it in the family as much as we can tolerate each other.
Nice. Great.
That's true.
I absolutely love it.
She's been coming up and down mountainsides with me since she was, what is the saying, knee high to something or other. But I think that the future is bright here in Humboldt as far as cannabis innovation and the next generation. I mean, you know, I feel like you had to see that too a little bit, how there was this passage of knowledge from Humboldt's, you know, like the 1960s and 70s growing community onto you know, I mean, I know you're quite a bit younger than I am, but you know, our sort of like the middle, and then I feel like the generation that's sort of just in school now, in college, and
as legalization is happening.
Yeah, I feel like they're gonna be positioned to just really blow our minds with not only just breeding, but also, you know,
transforming it, like finishing the final transformation, the final evolution of the American cannabis industry, right?
Yeah.
That's what I hope for.
And the roots are strong, so it won't be, you know, I think that they'll be able to kind of carry the flag.
To withstand it 100%. And I'm glad you put it that way, because as an outsider who spent time there, I saw the OG Humboldt crowd, the people who were born there or, you know, grew up there and never left. And they, first of all, they were so accepting as an outsider. They weren't like, you know, we don't want you here, but you could tell who was there to stay and who was there to have a couple good runs and then move back to the East Coast. You know what I mean? So it sounds like you're really digging your roots in there, like you said, and I respect that, man. You're like those old crabbers. Just like, I remember the crabbers. You guys are the real Humboldt. I like to say that I'm from Humboldt just because I spent time there and it's cooler than where I grew up. But you guys, you're the real Humboldt County OGs.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that are extra challenging. You know, it takes us 13, 14 hours to get to the biggest market in California, which is LA. And
it's
so,
like 3.5 hours to the nearest like normal city of, and that's like Santa Rosa. Like, yeah, it's an interesting place, man. And I hope I get to come back there soon. Hey, listen, can we connect further? Either, you know, if you're ever free for a follow-up interview, I know you're busy, or if you want to connect me with some of your breeders, I really enjoyed today's conversation. And if you have any further collaboration, can we go ahead and do that in the near future?
Absolutely. I'd love to connect you with, I mean, Humboldt's full of great breeders, and we're, you know, one of the more prominent companies here, obviously, but, you know, shout out to the CSI and Talking Trees and Rebel Grown and all the folks that are out here, you know, just crushing it, breeding.
That's awesome,
and there's, God, I mean, we have more licenses than any other county in California, more acreage that's, you know, both legal and maybe not,
right,
or whatever you want to call it. You know, we're just doing it. And, you know, Humboldt's it's a culture, and it's a lifestyle.
It's a special place, man. That's exactly right. Yeah. It is a lifestyle.
But
and
you get your butt back out here, man, and we'll take you out to the farm.
Oh, shit. Don't tease me. As soon as normalcy resumes, I'm there, man. Seriously, I'll be knocking on your door.
We got a Nevada County license as well. So we've got sort of the Central Cali covered. And then so many of our, like, you know, partners that we've go so deep with, like Dark Heart Nursery down in Oakland. And
right. Love it.
All the different players. Come see Hendrix Farms and Humboldt. They're a big nursery here.
Yes, it's game on. Stay tuned for that, GrowCast listeners. HumboldtSeedCompany.com. Nat, we'll let you go off the line, and then I'll do the wrap-up for the show here. Thank you so much, my friend. I look forward to speaking to you and or your team in the near future.
It's been awesome. Love talking to somebody who knows what they're talking about.
Oh, geez. Done. I appreciate you, man. Take care, okay?
Okay. You too. Bye.
Bye. That was great. Fantastic breeder feature in the bag. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Hope you're having a great time in your grow. I'll see you next time on GrowCast. Stay tuned, everyone. Bye-bye. Grow smarter. That's our show for today. Thank you, everyone, so much for tuning in. Reminder, we're up on YouTube. We will be posting video content. As soon as membership closes, I'm going to have some more time on my hands. So subscribe to our YouTube channel, growcastpodcast.com/YouTube, or just find us on YouTube. Membership closes tomorrow. Get in before we close our doors. Dino Myco giving away free mycorrhiza, growcastpodcast.com/giveaway. Enter to win free mycorrhiza. What else? Who else do we have on the list? Start to Finish Consulting for all your consulting needs up on Instagram at start2finish710. Every situation, every setup, they've got you covered start to finish. And shout out to Jay Blank for doing the beat, soundcloud.com/jayblanked. Thank you all for tuning in. Best of luck in your grows. I'll see you next time on GrowCast.